This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gaming's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, a show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, Joy, Joy.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Well, 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 brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council. I'm Jack, and with me today as my co-hosts are Murray and the fabulous Tex. Welcome back, Tex.
Oh, thanks very much.
I think I'm fabulous as well.
Oh, of course, but Tex has been away for 3 months.
He has.
Well, off-air for 3 months.
No, off-air, off-air. Now, thank you for the Gazman for another rendition of the fabulous morning show.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, as always, he's a good man, as he just passes through our midst.
Indeed.
But also, just to recap, what news do we have for the last week, guys?
Well, we've just finished off the last of our Down and Dirty events. We
had
a couple more events over the weekend, and they were very successful.
Yeah, we had Dirk Kaber and Jesse Johnson.
Now, which one's your favourite?
Dirk.
Dirk.
Okay. Dirk. The older one.
We won't go into that, will
no,
we?
No, no, no. But he was that they were at various venues over the weekend, the past week, in fact, Tex.
Indeed. I got to see the comedian at Hares and Hyenas just a week or so ago on a Sunday night.
That's
John
right.
John Pendle.
That's right.
Who was a really entertaining person, and apparently he did a gig at in Fitzroy on Friday night or Saturday night this past gone. Also, of course, last week it was Radiothon here on Joy.
It was.
And we do want to thank everyone who joined up during last week's show and made donations. Of course, you've got until the end of the month if you want to go into the prize draw for the car.
And it is Mercedes-Benz.
Indeed, a smart car for two people.
Wow. Yep. That's amazing.
So get out your credit card and join up and support Well, Well, Well. So, support Joy so that Joy can support programs like Well, Well, Well.
Exactly.
Yep.
We've got some other news. Mr. Philip Carswell, Phil Carswell, known to many.
Indeed.
Philip was awarded an OBE, an Order of Australia, for services to the community health and particularly people living with HIV/AIDS. Yep, well done, Phil. Now, for those who don't know, Phil is an AIDS activist and historian who's been helping Australians affected by HIV/AIDS for over 30 years. He was a founding member of the AIDS Trust of Australia and the foundation president of the Victorian AIDS Council. And he's continued his work in health promotion in Brisbane. And in addition to AIDS support and prevention, Phil has worked in the health advisory areas in sun safety, injury prevention and alcohol, tobacco and drugs. He's a busy man.
We're very busy. Well done.
He
well
is
done,
indeed. Phil. And Facebook went alive, went haywire yesterday when the news hit on the Queen's birthday holiday. There was lots of congratulations for Phil and well deserved as well.
Definitely.
Over many years.
Well done.
Yep.
Here at Well, 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 we talk about topics that relate to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex communities. We're all about sex, health and well-being. Now, Murray, what's planned for today's show here on Well, Well, Well?
Well, Tex, we have a very important topic to discuss on today's show. We're going to be discussing family violence in the GLBTI community, and we'll be chatting with Dr. Philomena Horsley, a senior trainer and research fellow at La Trobe University and an expert in the GLBTI inclusive practice. Philomena has recently made a submission to the Royal Commission into Family Violence in Victoria, and we'll be hearing from her about the issues our community faces when we talk about violence in intimate relationships.
So to get in contact with us today, get involved in the conversation or sign up and help support Joy, you can like us on facebook.com/ well, 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 Joy, or you can call 1300-JOY-949 or send us an email on air at joy.org.au or send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
That's right, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're in the studio with Tex, Jack and Murray, and on today's show we have a very special guest, Philomena Horsley.
Now, Philomena, can you first of all tell us briefly about your role within the GLBTI community and your work in your submission to the Royal Commission into Family Violence?
Okay, So I work as a researcher and a trainer at Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, which is part of La Trobe University. So I've spent the last 18 months travelling all around Victoria running training for the aged care sector around issues for older LGBTI people, getting that sector kind of ready.
It's
open, inclusive, informed, and so on. But in my past work, I have had a lot to do with gender and violence, both in a community sector role, but also in terms of lecturing around gender-based violence. So when the Royal Commission was announced, which I think is a fantastic initiative for the Victorian government, we decided within Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, it was really important that we put in a submission to open the eyes of people involved in the family violence sector to the issues specific to LGBTI population, but also to recognise that, you know, within our broader role of improving the health and well-being of LGBTI Victorians, that family violence was a key issue, but very, very under-researched and under-mentioned in our community.
Okay. Just on that point, what exactly is meant by family violence within the context of GLBTI?
That's a great question, John, and I'm going to read specifically from the Victorian Family Violence Protection Act, because I think this is a really key issue. We see a lot in the media around, you know, family violence in quotation marks, but people generally talk about and default to the issue of current or ex-partners in adult relationships. And in fact, the Family Violence Royal Commission is looking at the breadth of family violence. So they define family violence as acts of physical and sexual violence, which are in fact criminal offences, but it also includes economic, emotional and psychological abuse. So stealing someone's money or coercing their money out of them, you know, psychologically terrorising them. So it then expands to behaviour that is threatening or coercive or controlling or dominating a family member and causes them to fear for themselves and their well-being. So that's a bigger picture again. Then they also make clear that it also includes children being exposed to violence. So if partners are being violent, family members are being violent in front of children, even though the violence is not directed at the children, that's family violence. Then they also make, I know this goes on a bit, but this is a really important point. So it relates to partners, but it also relates to siblings. It relates to other family members like parents and grandparents, children being violent to parents and to other family members. And so in that sense, it involves same-sex couples, violence against children by siblings, elder abuse, so family members, you know, economically controlling the money or physically assaulting, and it also relates to carers in specific situations.
It's quite detailed, isn't it?
And it's a very broad reach.
So people default to this notion of domestic violence or intimate partner violence, but in fact family violence is around everyone being safe within the context of families in that broad sense.
So, I mean, in saying that, then some people may be suffering family violence and not be aware of it.
Absolutely. And that's one of the key issues in our submission, that not only in the broader community, but quite specifically to our community, that people won't recognise what's happening to them as violence or abuse or exploitation, whatever word, you know, people want to use, because they just think, oh, it's a male beating up his female partner. That's pretty much the basic notion people have when they think of family violence.
Now, Philomena, is there an idea of the prevalence in our community? You know, we're talking very... What you've talked about has been very broad brush, and although you have zeroed in on a few specific examples that could be include gay and lesbian people or, you know, rainbow people, but is there any idea of the prevalence in our community?
In Australia, the GLBTI area is really under research, but there has been some done by Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria and in New South Wales by ACON. So both from our Victorian-based and our national-based research, we know from, you know, the research we've done that one in three gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, intersex was not enough people to kind of claim this, have had an experience of being in an abusive partner relationship. Now, one of those studies showed that it could have been either sex involved, and the other one showed that around one in three had an experience in a same-sex relationship. So we're arguing pretty much from what we know, one in three have had some experience of partner abuse or violence. But when you come to broader issues, so for instance, our national study that runs every 3 years looking at young people aged 14 to 21, certainly those young people are talking about being physically assaulted by parents when they come out to them. Mm. So that constitutes family yes. violence, but it's not recognised in different ways as family violence. But it is. It's homophobic-based family violence. We don't know how many young people specifically are experiencing that because most of what they tell us they experience is at school. But if you turned it around and looked at specifically in relation to families, yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. 1 in 3 is very high. How does that compare with, say, the general and heterosexual population? Is there any comparative?
It's around about the same or similar. Okay. Yeah, okay. And that seems to be reflected in the very small number of studies that have been done overseas, that we're looking at studies that seem to show whichever country in the English-speaking world has done the research, that it's pretty much the same or similar experience. And why would it not be, really?
Do you think the word, when you say family violence, that a lot of people in the GLBTI community don't connect with the word family violence when we actually say family?
It's an interesting question. In some ways, if they're hearing it through the prism of heterosexuality Absolutely. Or, you know, gender mm-hmm. conformity, wouldn't relate to it. But on the other hand, we do talk about our families. We talk about our families of choice, you know, who we love, who we've connected to, as well as our, you know, families of origin. So in that sense, you know, it's hard to say. Yeah. And that's what research would be very interesting to do around that notion of, certainly in the current media context, you just don't see a story. Now, last year, if you remember, there was the murder of Stuart Rattle by his yes. partner of 16 yeah. years. Yeah. Now, that was very much presented in the media as a murder. Mm. But in fact, that was a domestic homicide. Mm. And what we know from the Australian Institute of Criminology is that 2% of domestic homicides in Australia are same-sex partner homicides, and they suspect that is underreported. But in the media, that wasn't presented no. as family violence, that was presented as murder. But in fact, it follows the same pattern as all the heterosexual-based stories that we hear about.
We're chatting with Philomena Horsley about family violence in the GLBTI community. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au to have your say.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on JOY 94.9. And today we're discussing family violence. And joining us for this discussion is Dr. Philomena Horsley. And we do love it when you get involved in the conversation. So send us a text 0427 JOY 949 or email us onair@joy.org.au.
Now, Philomena, do you think the current thinking about male violence against women in heterosexual relationships, like regarding patriarchy and male privilege, are useful concepts when we're talking about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex relationship violence?
It's an interesting question, Tex, and it's a complex one because mm-hmm. in many ways we know that the predominant nature of violence in Australian society and particularly in the family context is male. But it's not helpful when terms such as, you know, male-based violence are used in the context of our community, because we know from the research, you know, women are violent to women, both physically and emotionally, and trans people experience it and also, you know, are perpetrators as well. So what we suggest is if you actually take it a bit apart and think about masculinity and femininity. So what some of the research suggests is that in the dynamics of same-sex male relationships, so gay or bisexual men in relationships with men, they argue, the people perpetrating the violence argue, this is a natural part of how men relate to men, and therefore this violence is kind of like what you would expect in a gay relationship.
Boys will be boys. Sort of.
Boys will yep. be boys. Oh, you know, we get a bit rough, okay, but, you know, you shouldn't worry about that. So that's masculinity. And then on the opposite side, when you've got bisexual or lesbian women in same-sex relationships, you've got the opposite of notions of femininity, which is women can't be violent, or women wouldn't be violent to each other because it's an equal relationship. It doesn't have the dynamic of male-female. So that doesn't work there. So you've got the myth-making there, and then you've got the hyper-masculinity on the other side. So I think we need to keep the concepts of gender there, but they need to be kind of connected to issues around sexual and gender diversity.
Absolutely. And just you touched on briefly trans. What do we know about trans violence in trans relationships?
We know generally trans people, both male and female, experience higher levels of violence generally in terms of the community than lesbian, gay or bisexual people. We don't have research in Australia that looks specifically at the family violence area, but the research particularly done in Scotland suggests that trans people experience high levels of partner violence and family violence. And that's trans people who either are not transitioning or in the process of transitioning or have transitioned. And that's a really vulnerable time, the transition process in particular. And clearly that's directed at them because their partner manipulates those notions of you're outside the gender norms, people won't support you, people won't recognise it as violence. And, you know, and particularly if they're in the process of transitioning and they're not out about that, they become really vulnerable to coercion and manipulation. So we'd really like to do some more work in that space particular.
Of course, yeah.
We've heard it reported before that shame and secrecy often surrounds people who are trying to leave difficult and violent relationships. Do you think it's even truer in the GLBTI community?
I think it is. I think both there's the issue around shame that comes from original sources of shame around our gender or sexual identity and that may be unresolved. Then you've got the issue of being in a relationship that has got its own notions of shame and the fear that other people in your networks, friendship and social networks, may find out. And then you've got the issue of what happens if I seek help. Will service providers treat me badly? Will they understand what's happening? Will they actually take it seriously? Or will they just see it as, oh, well, that's part of the sickness that's to do with this gender or sexual diversity? So you've got a real kind of, you know, maelstrom of issues there that are many layered around shame and fear, I think. And I think they really assist perpetrators in keeping people under their control.
We'll be right back. We're going to play some community announcements and then we'll be back to discuss some more with Philomena. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
I told you we'd be right back and I didn't lie.
That's correct.
The discussion.
We're speaking with Dr. Philomena Horsley on family violence in the GLBTI community. But first of all, it's important to note that if you are experiencing violence in your family or your relationship and you'd like someone to talk about it in a confidential manner or get some support, please call the VAC on 9865-6700 and ask to speak to a counsellor. Or if you're at an immediate risk, don't hesitate in calling 000.
And I think the important thing that we've picked up through this discussion is the broad ranges of family violence. So if you're sitting at home listening to us now and you're still unsure whether you fall into that category, make that step and have that discussion.
Now, Philomena, what are some of the things that might increase the risk to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex people in relationships where abuse is happening? Like, for example, we're told by our glorious leader that there's an ICE epidemic, so we all have to be aware. Now, is that seriously, is there anything telling you perhaps that ICE or recreational drugs or alcohol are seriously compromising relationships?
We don't have clear research that links that specifically to the issue of family violence, but, you know, common sense suggests that would absolutely be the case because we know from broader community research that is the case. So if there are issues of, you know, alcohol and drug use, both licit and illicit, at harmful levels, you know, there's something going on there, and you've certainly got somebody potentially who's vulnerable. But interestingly, the other things that can put people at greater risk are the diversities within our diversity. So, you know, if someone from a culturally and linguistically diverse background, so there was some interesting research recently in Sydney, which looked at the experiences of LGBT people in Arabic-speaking communities in New South Wales. Certainly one of the things that came there was high levels of family violence experienced by people because of the issues around shame in the community and so on. So certainly those of us who come from backgrounds of more recently arrived communities or certainly refugee communities are going to be at greater risk, both within couple relationships, but also because of the stress related to that, but also within family contexts, and similarly with issues around disability and indigeneity as well. Yeah, so and older people also have particular vulnerabilities, I think, because when we think back historically, it's only in very recent decades that, you know, consenting male sex has been decriminalised. Mm-hmm. And so for most of those people, in their men in their 70s, 80s and 90s, they've lived an entire life of you know, having potentially a criminal record or certainly being, you know, illegal in that sense. So their fear of seeking help, their fear of their lack of support from family members over that whole time makes them particularly vulnerable as well.
Mm-hmm. And all of this can be covert, not necessarily overt violence, living under threat.
Absolutely. So one of these stories I have in my report is two older men who have been living together and, of course, for decades, and, of course, family, you know, rejected them many years ago. And, of course, you know, they're both on Centrelink aged care, aged pensions, I should say, and haven't reported their relationship status to Centrelink, even though the law changed in 2009 for a whole range of really legitimate reasons.
Yep.
And then you've got family members going, oh, there's a house there. And, of course, the house is in one name because you didn't put it in two names because, you know, back in the day, that was a signal that you were in a relationship and you could be, you know, sacked from work and so on. And the family goes, oh, you know, little bit of a visit. Let's reconnect. And then there's, in this situation, a threat to tell Centrelink about the fact that they haven't reported their relationship status unless you start giving me a bit of money.
Yeah, wow.
You know, so that's family violence because that's financial exploitation.
Mm.
So we can see how, you know, particular situations to do with age or background, identity, create particular vulnerabilities within our community.
Or equally, I thought where you were going with that story is if someone who has been isolated from their family is in a relationship and then they're suffering at the hands of that person because they feel like they have to stay in that relationship because if they leave, then they've got nothing else. So then there's...
That's another example. So another example, two lesbians in a rural community in Victoria, this is a fairly recent case, had been together a long time. One had been both physically and emotionally violent to the other woman.
Yeah.
Friends in the network, lesbian friends, didn't know about it. Finally, one of the women is assaulted and just goes, I have to leave. She leaves the house and she leaves everything behind, her car, her possessions, everything, because she's actually now in fear for her life, flees to her friends, and then the violent partner takes out an order against her, claiming that the woman who was the victim of the violence is the violent one.
Yeah.
Becomes really messy. The police don't take it that seriously. The lawyer's not that good. And so, and all the time, the violent partner is saying, I'm going to out you at work. And this is a rural community. Yeah. I'm going to out you in all these kind of situations to your family and so on. So to actually escape from that, this woman has to move to Melbourne. So there's financial issues, there's a loss of social support with your friendship networks and so on. So yes,
yeah.
I think that thing around isolation and the threat of outing people, whether it's to family, to workplaces or so on, is a really potent thing in these kinds of relationships.
Absolutely. It's another dimension, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so we know about refuges for women. What about for men? Do they exist?
Well, no.
No, yeah.
And then one of the key areas, I think, that we're hoping the Royal Commission will focus on is service delivery. And if we look at the services sector, there's everything from the magistrates and the courts and the police, the whole justice area, right through to the support services, whether they're, you know, violence support services or homelessness support services. They're all kind of part of this process. And, you know, from what we understand, and we don't have, again, the kind of research, but from what we're hearing anecdotally, is the services are either unfamiliar or unaware of those issues, or they aren't specific services. So yes, whether it's a violent woman who therefore can't go to a men's behaviour change program, equally would be uncomfortable for a gay man or a trans man.
Mm.
And then on the other side, you've got trans women who are urgently seeking refuge. Mm. And what we hear, again, anecdotally, is that some refugees go, well, you're not a real woman.
No, you're not.
You know? So we actually need to really focus on the services sector and get it up to speed, but also recognise there will need to be specific services in our case.
We've actually had a message in, Philomena.
Oh.
It's an interesting question. It says, hi, great show. Thanks for discussing this topic on air. It's talking about her friend who is trans, who's had one serious relationship which was physically abusive. The person who's written in, Simone, has said, I used to encourage her to talk to the police, but she was worried about being single and losing her relationship. She refused to leave, stating that she still loved her partner. And Simone from Kensington is saying, is this a common response?
Yes, I would say very much yes. And particular for trans people who have given up a lot to really, you know, move into their sense of their true self. So they've often had less support from family of origin, perhaps even original social networks who can't accept transition processes. Then they have the added issue of like, well, you know, the police can be a bit across now, gay and lesbian stuff, but not so necessarily so much trans stuff, and similar in the services sector. So you may find the courage to actually leave a relationship like that, but then what's there and what support is there and what the networks are, you know, can be very difficult to tell. But it sounds like she's a great friend. So one of the things you can just say is hang in there and keep supporting her.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we are discussing family violence with our special guest, Dr. Philomena Horsley. Now, Philomena, you're quoted in The Age just recently saying homophobic violence within families was also a major problem, and people in the GLBTI community can be reluctant to use services that focus mostly on male abuse against women. Is the family violence sector letting down our community, those in the GLBTI community, by not being more adequately prepared to respond to relationship violence as it presents in our community?
I think that sector is, it's just dawning on them, the issues around inclusion. Some of them have been starting to grapple with it and what it means for their service and how they might change their service or seek to diversify their service. For others, it's like, hey, what? You know,
yeah, it's like, not on their radar.
It's not on their radar. And that's why I think the Royal Commission has been so important. In terms of the police area, there's been some real movement there. We are at Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria represented on a couple of committees that are looking at training of police. And in particular, at the moment, they're training for new recruits, but also spreading it. And I think that's a really important thing, and it was championed by Commissioner Ken Lay before he retired. So, for instance, there was an example that we were given recently, in fact, by a policeman, where they were called to loud noises in a flat in an outer metropolitan area. Turned up, there were two men there, and they said, oh, look, we're flatmates, we've just had a bit of an argument, it's okay. The police were called by the neighbours. And then they noticed that one of them was looking a little bit nervous, but they just went, you know, we'll check it out, and then they left. Later that night, they end up being called to emergency department of the local hospital. One of the guys has been seriously injured by the other man who was his partner. So the policeman who told us that story reflected on the fact if that had been a heterosexual couple, he would have gone through the appropriate protocol, which is separate the two people and talk to them separately. But he just went, oh, well, two men together, flatmates. And he reflecting on that, he was terrific. He said, reflecting on that, I realised that I should be using that protocol regardless. And I can't make assumptions just because of same-sex couples. So I think, you know, the police are really starting to move. But there is still real barriers for our community around contacting the police. Trusting that they will get a correct or supportive response. And we know from our research around half of the people who have contacted the police around violence in Victoria have got a good response, but the other half, not so much. That was a couple of years ago now, so things I think will start to move with the Royal Commission findings, we believe.
And just on that, we're continuing the conversation next week
about
family violence, and we'll have
Gabby
from the GLOW officer.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, she'll have a lot more detail to say about what's really happening within the justice system.
So it is interesting that those barriers that we may all experience about reporting and being frank to authorities about what is really going on. Again, it's shame, fear, whatever.
Yeah, it's hard enough to walk into a police station if you have been a victim of violence, even more so if it's not physical violence, because we all generally feel, well, is it valid? If someone actually hasn't hit me, but they've just threatened me, is that, and that's been my experience in the past with a stranger threatening me, and they said, no, that's a criminal offence.
Yes.
So it also is in the family context. But then you've got to get over, well, will they take me seriously? Will they treat me with respect? And then will they have something that they can offer me? And then you've got the justice system where you've got magistrates and so on whose whole work has been really focused on either, heterosexual families or heterosexual opposite sex couples. They need education as well.
Definitely.
Look, I thought as we were mentioning Royal Commission, you asked us to read this message out. Yes. So I'd like to share this message right now so people can hear it while the show is still happening and it's not a mad rush at the end. The Royal Commission into Family Violence is very keen to consult with workers. Now, the workers in domestic violence service agencies and other organisations like perhaps men's behaviour change programs, refugee and or response accommodation, and LGBTI community groups and services. And that is, they want to have contact with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex people and their families. So this includes people with direct experience of intimate partner violence, of family violence, or more broadly, if you like.
Yes.
Now, anyone wishing to attend the session, they need to call and register with the Royal Commission on 1800 365 100, and that's to register interest. The session's going to be held from 4:30 till 6:30 on the 7th of July, and it'll be happening here in the city or within the city central business district. But you need to register because the Royal Commission actually then needs to get back to you and say, well, this is where the location will be, so that it's not a widely advertised and any Tom, Dick and Harry or Josephine and Harriet can come along. It really is. So if it is going to involve you, then you'll be given these details, because the details of the location are going to be given out to the registrants closer to the date. So that telephone number for people, workers in domestic violence agencies who want to contact the Royal Commission to attend on the 7th of July, it's 1800 365 100. So 1800 365 100.
Absolutely. And the reason for that callback process is that they're very concerned to keep people safe, because many workers themselves have experienced family violence or same-sex partner violence themselves. So they really, but they are very keen to hear from the community, but felt if they had a broad, open community situation, then you could end up with people with sitting beside their, ex-partners who were violent towards them. So this is really about particularly how services are addressing this issue and what do they see as the barriers as well as the solutions.
Mm. We've had another telephone message, an SMS message come in, I'm very old-fashioned, from Rolf, who says, let's not forget that women can be violent towards children, as well as other adults, both male and female, especially when the broader definition of family violence is considered. So,
Just widening it even further,
yeah. Saying that yes, women can be violent towards children. They can be violent to other adults, male and female. But I guess men can be, same-sex attracted men can be violent towards women and against children, their partners. So
And going back to that comment I made earlier about homophobia with violence within the family, we had a research participant who was 15, who's saying his parents suspected he was gay. I was locked in a room. My parents interrogated me. They physically and mentally abused me for 5 hours and released me after I said I'd kill myself. And their reply was either kill yourself or we will kill you. Mm. So certainly we know it, from our research, it's primarily the fathers who are abusive to gay or lesbian or kids, but certainly mothers have been involved as well.
Mm. Listen, on that note, we need to wrap it up. We want to thank you, Philomena, for coming in for this discussion.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And we, like I said earlier, we're going to be discussing this over the next 4 weeks.
That's correct. Let's just touch the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Absolutely. This is Joy 94.9, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy, and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've...
Wonderful. Dial today. 1-300-JOY-949. Or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's AU as in AU. Sponsor Joy.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
Where does the time go? We were just saying goodbye to Philomena.
Sorry, we were. What, but seriously, this
it's
is a...
It's fantastic yeah. discussion because it makes you think about the broad levels of family violence and what you typically think of when you think of family violence. Today, hopefully, we've expanded that for you. And again, I can't encourage you enough. If you're sitting there wondering whether you're suffering family violence, to seek support.
And ring VAC Counselling 9865-6700, or if you're at immediate risk, 000. Call the police. And the police do have GLOW officers, gay and lesbian officers, to ease your way through the legal system with the police inquiries.
And as always, it's been great to have questions coming in, questions that we can include into our discussion, like with our guest Philomena today.
Exactly.
So thanks very much to Simone for your question and to Rolf for your comment question as well, because they both provided input and help to explain perhaps some of the questions we didn't think to ask.
Now, just on that, the VAC, Victorian AIDS Council, is always also doing a submission to the Royal Commission to Family Violence. But also coming up on June the 15th is Elder Abuse Awareness Day. So wear a ribbon. They'll be selling ribbons in the city. So that's in line too with family violence. But from the other way, you know,
and
younger
think
people.
And I think purple ribbons, aren't they?
I lose track.
As Victorian AIDS Council instituted the ribbon in Australia,
we were the
with
first
the red
one.
Ribbon, we'll give them the purple ribbon.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back at the same time, same dial station next week on the Well, Well, Well show. Again, we're going to be talking about family violence again.
Yes.
With a little bit of shift, we'll be talking with Gabby Tackle, who is a GLOW officer for the Victorian Police. Mm-hmm. That's it.
You're on Well, 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 Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.